This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Center for Economic Analysis and Development at the Northern Kentucky University Hale U.S. Bank College of Business tracks and analyzes local, state, and regional business, economic, and demographic information in order to give a clearer understanding of the area's economy. Joining me this afternoon to go over the latest numbers and what they mean for our region's future growth are CEAD Senior Director Janet Hara and Financial Advisor Chris DeSimio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And you can also join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Janet, tell us about the work that's being done at this center. What specific things does the center track, and how do they go about doing that?
Well, the center really tries to track the overall Cincinnati economy and compare it to its regional competitors. We have identified about 12 other cities that we compete with for economic development deals, and then how we're doing compared to the rest of the country. So it's kind of looking at where we're at, where we think we're headed, and are we keeping up with the people we need to compete with in order to bring jobs and money here to Cincinnati.
So you're looking at the housing market, you're looking at jobs, you're looking at population, demographics, and that kind of thing, correct?
Yeah, the full range, because demographics oftentimes drives a large part of the economy.
Janet, which cities then, which regions are the chief competitors to our fair city and our fair region?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them you would think of: Cleveland, Columbus,
Louisville,
Pittsburgh. Cities like that.
But Indianapolis, perhaps?
Indianapolis, absolutely. And then we also have a few cities like Austin and Denver and Raleigh that we track not so much because we necessarily compete with them directly for deals, but they're kind of bellwethers for – they're kind of the faster-growing areas that are similar in size to us. So it gives us a bellwether of how we're doing.
Janet, how does this area's economy compare to the other parts of the country?
Well, we're growing a little bit slower than the rest of the country, but that's not necessarily all bad. It's kind of a glass half full, half empty. We did not suffer nearly as much here during the recession as other areas did. We certainly didn't see a 40% drop in the housing markets like areas in Florida and Nevada did.
The sand states.
The sand states. On the other hand, one of the things that's keeping our growth from growing as fast as the rest of the country now that we're coming out of the recession is the fact that our population is growing much slower than the rest of the country.
Yeah. How often, Janet, are you asked at the CEAD, the Center for Economic Analysis and Development at Northern Kentucky University, how often do people ask you, when are we going to get back to the good old days of 2005, 2006, where you could buy a house and it would go up a whole bunch and how often does that question get asked of
you? I get that question about every week or sometimes every day. And I always tell people, well, be careful what you wish for. We don't necessarily want to go back to the levels of housing construction and the rate of appreciation in the housing that we did prior to the recession. That was a bubble. And if we go back to where we were, given our current population growth, that would mean we were creating another housing bubble. And we don't want to go there because, as we all found out, it's very, very painful when those bubbles burst.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about the region, is the growth at whatever rate we're experiencing it something that's fairly evenly distributed, or is it in certain pockets or rings around the central core of the region?
Well, we often talk about, you know, we'll look at the counties that comprise the MSA and we'll say, well, you know, counties like Boone and Kenton and Claremont and Warren are growing much faster than Hamilton. But when you look at the overall growth, it's very, very modest, which tells you that a lot of the growth that we're seeing in some of these ring counties around Hamilton is just simply people moving within the metropolitan area. It's not necessarily new people coming in.
The local housing market, it had that great run going month after month of growth, and lately it seems like it hit a bit of a bump in the road, and of course the weather gets a lot of the blame. What's your take on that? What do you think is the cause? Is it the weather, or is it just the housing market doing kind of a natural cooling off at this point?
Well, it's twofold. The weather, obviously. I mean, when it's, you know, 3 inches, you know, of snow and
nobody
ice on, nobody wants to go look for a house.
No. Just like Bob Herzog says.
That's right.
Just don't go.
He's always right.
Just don't go. And we always have a downturn in terms of there's a lot of seasonality to housing, and it's always slow in the first quarter because it is cold and people don't – typically that's not your preferred time of the year to buy or sell your house. So I think it'll pick back up in the spring, get a little closer to April and May. Late April, early May will give you a better idea of are we going to truly going to continue on an upward path.
We're talking with Janet Harris. She's the Senior Director at the Center for Economic Analysis and Development at Northern Kentucky University. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number to call is 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And how does this area do in terms of employment and job creation?
I think the labor market in general, that's the area that is the weakest for the recovery. And it's really hard. There's a couple problems with looking at the labor numbers we have. They're the only numbers we have, so we use them. If you look strictly at the job numbers, we're up almost 1.5% compared to last year. And given that our population is only growing 0.5% a year, that would seem to be that the labor market's doing well. But what the labor market numbers don't tell us is, are those full-time jobs or part-time jobs? They don't tell us what those jobs are paying, $10 an hour or $15 an hour. So we know that we're getting some improvement in the labor market. We have to kind of go by consumer confidence to tell us there's improvement, but we're not where we want to be yet.
You know, there are a number of resources that your organization makes available at your website, and you're also on Facebook, and I see you have a Twitter. You can have a Twitter feed. And among the number of fascinating tidbits, among them, for example, that Bracken County's population growth was nine, up to 8,488, the home of the Augusta Panthers and the Bracken County polar bears, of course. But there is a lot more than just that fascinating tidbit. You have just in this one page, and again, this is something that's available. Anyone can log in at your website.
Absolutely. It's NKY by the numbers.
Okay, NKY by the numbers. For example, total homes sold. And it's a quarterly newsletter that you have.
Correct.
That you post. Homes sold from a year ago, 1,152, up 7%. Total number of homes sold in the reference period, up 10.8% at 430. These are important numbers to have for people who are wondering, should I put my house on the market or not? And these things are searchable. Can you go back on your website and look at prior quarters newsletters?
We keep all the newsletters archived on the website. And while we issue our newsletter once a quarter, the data are updated on real time.
Okay.
So they're always up to date.
And you can also find the links on WVXU.org.
Exactly.
And Janet, you do a blog for Cincinnati.com, right?
Yes, I do. It's called Economic Matters.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And how does this area do when it comes to income?
Actually, we do fairly well. One of the things that we get talking about the job numbers, when we look at personal income for the area over the past couple of years, our income has been growing faster than some of our competitor cities. And that goes to the mix of jobs. While we're not adding jobs at a very fast rate, the jobs that we're adding tend to be a little bit higher wage than some of our competitor cities. So that's good news.
What about cost of living for the area?
We have a very modest cost of living, particularly in housing. Compared to the rest of the country, almost every measure we look at the cost of living, we're at or below the national average.
This output that you have at the website and then in your regular reports, really, really robust stuff. How big a staff do you have there at the Center for Economic Analysis and Development at Northern Kentucky University? How big a staff, and to what extent are students, political science or math or economic students involved in your efforts?
Well, we have two full-time researchers and a half-time researcher, counting myself. But we're really excited. The Hale U.S. Bank Foundation has funded 4 student positions for us, and we have had wonderful luck with them. We had great students working for us, and they actually put together an awful lot of the information for us, and they maintain the website. I am not a techie. I didn't use my first computer until I was in graduate school, so I'm obviously not doing the tech end of it. That's mostly our students. So we always have 2 students from the College of Business, and then we always have 2 students from the College of Informatics, and they get to partner together and kind of learn from each other as well.
So you're creating the next generation of economists, giving them hands-on experience.
Yes, it's give great experience for them, and it's particularly good for the business students don't get all that much tech in their programming. The College of Informatics kids don't necessarily get a lot of the business analytics, so kind of putting them together, it really works well.
Interdisciplinary.
Yes, absolutely.
You say that you're tracking population growth in the area, and that's a very vital statistic when you're looking at economics, isn't it?
Well, I think we tend to forget how much of our economy is driven by the size of the population you're serving. You look at the segments like retail trade, restaurants, entertainment. You can go on down to healthcare. So much of that is services that are aimed at the population in your area. And if your area is not growing fast, you're not going to be adding a lot of new growth in those sectors.
Do you kind of slice and dice the numbers in your research that talks about not just the actual absolute population growth, but, for example, how many college – what percentage of college graduates decide to stay in the area as opposed to look for more excitement or a career somewhere else? Do you see do you track different age groups and to what extent the 18 to 35 age group is growing and the 35 to 55 age group is growing?
It's interesting when you start doing the slicing and dicing. One of the things you look at is what they call their dependency ratio. So how many people over the age of 65 do you have versus the size of the labor force? You want to have – the preference would be to have three or four workers for every person that's retired.
Ideally.
Ideally. Almost nowhere in the United States has that, including Cincinnati. The other thing we look at is everybody wants that young professional. They want to capture them. They want to keep them here. We do that. We do well with that to a certain degree. We're not in Austin. We're not going to live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And some of those places have a better easier job than we do in attracting young professionals because of the climate. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we have some aces in the hole, so to speak. And that's like if you're a young person looking at working in the data industry, there's no place you'd rather work that than Dunnhumby or P&G. Mm-hmm. So we are able to attract and retain some of those professionals because of who some of our Fortune 500 companies we have here in town.
Fascinating.
Do they track people who are moving here from out of the country? And do you have any idea what countries are giving us our population growth?
We do have information on migration in and out of the community. When we look at where are they coming from, you can pretty much see that these are students that are coming to go to UC or NKU because they're coming from countries such as Asia and the Middle East, and they're coming to go to school. Yeah. You can tell that. And if we do our job right, we get to keep them.
It's amazing. I was helping a client find a branch of a local bank, and they talked about at this bank, which happened to be in Northern Kentucky. It was a big bank, a big national bank, but the Northern Kentucky branch. And it said, by the way, here are the languages that we can communicate with in our ATM machine. And it was not only English, Spanish, but Tagalog, for example, which
oh, yes.
I thought, oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is, Vietnamese, et cetera. This really is becoming more of a cosmopolitan region, isn't it?
It is becoming more cosmopolitan, and I think we really owe that to our major universities, UC in particular. The University of Cincinnati is a very large institution, and they have students from all over the world. But that's exciting for our area. It makes our area more diverse, which makes it more interesting. And young professionals, they're looking for a diverse community. They want that excitement with a multicultural community.
And let's not forget the restaurants, too.
Oh, that's right.
When it comes to population growth, I think there are several counties that are doing fairly well in this area. Boone County is one of them. I think Warren and Butler are doing fairly well. Is that because of people coming in, or is that just people moving across the area that's causing that?
Well, most of the growth is occurring – people moving within the metropolitan area. And what we're really seeing is that first ring of counties – outside of Hamilton is where the vast majority of the growth is occurring. Part of it is if you want to build a new house, you have to go someplace where there's buildable land. I mean, the city of Cincinnati is pretty much built out. But there's also, and what you're looking at right now, when you look at Hamilton County, it has stopped declining. It has now stabilized its population growth the last few years. And I think part of what's driving that is the growth in young professionals wanting to live in downtown.
What are some of the strengths of this area?
The biggest economic strength I think we have is the fact that we have a very, very diverse economy. We are not dependent on one or two industries. You can see that happens a lot in communities where you get that boom and bust cycle if you're dependent on one industry. We have the luxury of being very diversified. I think that's one. The other thing that's very advantageous for our area is our location. We are very centrally located. The Brent Spence aside, by and large, we have a pretty good transportation system, which is to our advantage also.
So we're not entirely blue-collar. We're not entirely white-collar. It's just a nice mix of different – not entirely technical. So it's a nice mix
of different things. We have a nice mix.
What do we need to work on? That if we talk about our strengths, where is there room for improvement?
Well, I think if you look at where is business going in the future? In this country, it's going to be intellectual capability. I think I know this sounds self-serving coming from the university, but the numbers bear me out on this. The future is for those that have a post-secondary educational credential, particularly in those that develop STEM skills. You don't necessarily have to have a science or technology degree, but you have to have science and technology and mathematics skills. That's the wave of the future.
Fascinating stuff.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can also email us at talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And talking about strengths, weaknesses, areas of opportunity, where do we need to head the area economically?
Well, I think the thing is to continue to develop a diversified economy. I mean, we do have certain industries that we try to focus on because we know we have some competitive advantages. Obviously, logistics and transportation being one. Another is the manufacturing. We have a fairly good diverse manufacturing base. And the third would be obviously the Fortune 500 companies with P&G, Kroger, Dunnhumby's, those kind of companies. All around data are all some of our competitive strengths. But we want to maintain a diverse economy.
Again, the phone number to call if you'd like to join the conversation, 513-419-7100. Let's talk with Jay in Northside. Good afternoon, Jay.
Hi. Hey, I was wondering, I have a friend who grew up here who is a project manager on high-end rehabbing projects, and you were saying that Cincinnati's pretty built out. I was wondering if my impression is correct that we're seeing a lot of rehabbing and maybe high-end rehabbing in the old parts of Cincinnati and northern Kentucky.
You're absolutely correct. If you look at all the new construction that's going on downtown, an awful lot of it is rehabbing existing infrastructure, existing buildings for new uses and new purposes. And it's very exciting.
Yeah, it is. All you have to do is drive around over the Rhine. It's amazing. In fact, where does it change from building out to building up? Because that seems what's going on. We're also not building, horizontally, but there's a lot of verticality going on downtown.
Yes, and it's if you've seen that in the changing skyscraper of the city, with the Great American Tower being a prime example, there's only so much land downtown, so we're building up instead of building out, and that's again because the next younger generations, they don't want to live as far out. They want to live closer to downtown. They like the downtown amenities. They don't want the travel time to and from work. So the only place to go is up.
How does this area do in terms of attracting new businesses into it?
We do as well as, I think, as most our competitor cities. It is more challenging to bring in companies here than if you're in a warm climate. If you look at the numbers overall for the United States, most of the growth, at least the more rapid growth, is occurring south and west and with the warmer climates. So we have, it's a little bit more of a challenge because we have to kind of sell our region. I think people are often surprised when they get here. I always tell people, you have a small town atmosphere with big city amenities, and people don't really believe it until they've been here and visited.
You know, that could be our motto. Hey, Cincinnati, it's not that bad.
Or like this, the bumper sticker, Cincinnati is just okay.
That's more than okay.
Bumper sticker. The information that people are able to get from the center, I would imagine that would be good for local businesses that are looking to position their products and appeal to certain audiences, wouldn't it?
Yes, we often help particularly smaller businesses that don't have their own research staff. We help them with market research on how to do site locations and market analysis and what some of the market potentials are for them. So we have all that kind of information. Not all of it's online, but we have access to it.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Janet, when you're looking at this area's economy, how do you assess its overall health? How do we look? Are we okay? We're making a joke about that, but
we're
more than okay.
We'd probably be a B minus right now. And the only reason I say that is because I think most of us are not satisfied with where the labor market is at. Even though it's improved, we would like to see additional improvement in it.
Let's talk with Kent in Florence. Good afternoon, Kent.
Hi. Yes, how are you? Thanks for
taking my call. Yes. What's your question?
Well, I've recently seen a few accelerators and incubators emerge in the area. I'd like to know how the startup community contributes to the economic outlook.
Great question.
Cincinnati.
Great question, Kent. Thank you.
The startup community, they do several really important things. Number one is oftentimes, that's where the new technology emerges. And that's where the new technology is commercialized. And so insofar as that, it helps the entire overall community. That's really good. It also, you never know what's going to be the next Microsoft or the next P&G.
Even though P&G was a startup 180 right. years ago, 179, but it was a startup
it
right
was a
here.
Startup. You know, all those companies started out small. Every big company today started out small. You know, Sam Walton started out with a store that was, you know, a little shack in Bentonville, Arkansas. And today, it's the largest retailer in the world. So I think that's the other thing. You always have the opportunity for that really big hit. But I think the most important part is you bring in new technology and that intellectual property to your community.
You know, I always look at Cincinnati as being a mature community. So there's still the potential, even in Cincinnati, of maybe the next big thing, the next startup company that's going to be a big thing occurring.
Oh, yes. Startups, they're not dependent on how old or young your city is. They really are about the talent you have in your community and giving them the resources and the opportunities to succeed. One of the areas that I think the economic development community is very focused on is angel capital. And one of the things we're really thrilled about is that it looks like the angel tax credit in Kentucky is going to pass the legislature this year and the governor is going to sign off on it. And that's really good news. It gives people the opportunity to invest in these startup companies and get a little tax advantage for helping them generate that startup capital.
Now, I thought I'd heard all the new phrases I was going to hear for the week, but angel Northern Kentucky.
Angel tax credit.
Angel tax credit. Please explain exactly what that is.
Right. They have what they call angel funders. When you're a startup company, and you have to have big dollar investors that can – you're basically wagering that money because most new startups fail. But every once in a while, you hit it big. And so you need those investors that have deep enough pockets that they can take a chance on loaning you $100,000, and if they lose that $100,000, they're not going broke themselves. Many states around the country have started giving those angel tax investors a little tax break for taking a chance on local startup firms.
So these are usually state tax credits or local
Correct.
Tax credits.
They're income Great, tax credits
thanks.
For your state. Yeah. They basically offset your tax.
Yeah, had no idea.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I had no idea either. So learn something new every day, don't you, Chris?
Keeps it fun.
Keeps it fun. Well, Janet, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
It was a pleasure.
Janet Hara is the Senior Director of the Center for Economic Analysis and Development at Northern Kentucky University. After the break, the latest on the investment outlook and in focus on technology, the Reds are finding new ways to connect with fans in the social media world. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.